Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have a lot to talk about on this episode of the Paracast, and I really wanted to jump right in. Rejoining us, Maxim Furek, a UFO researcher, and it's me and Tim. And there's a lot, as I said, to talk about. A little bit later, we'll be getting into the infamous Philadelphia experiment. And I go way, way back with that because I knew the author of one of the most famous books on the subject, Charles Berlitz. But that waits a little bit later. Right now, UFOs are in the media. There's an article in the New York Times that says Congress orders UFO reports released, but drops bid for broader disclosure. And the subtext is a newly passed measure directs the National Archives to collect documents related to UFOs and disclose confidential records within 25 years, but stops short of ordering more transparency. This is in the 2024 defense bill for the U.S., and evidently it lacks teeth.
You know, we had the July 2023 UFO congressional hearings with David Grush and some of the other folks. We thought we were going to have the disclosure. Grush said that he knew where the bodies were, where the saucers were. He claimed that in the 1930s, Mussolini captured a craft, gave it to the Vatican, and that the United States retrieved it. So all of that stuff was good and well and juicy, and we're waiting for that door to open, that, you know, and then it just stopped. So it was almost like a tease. And I just wrote a letter to Marco Rubio. You know, I'm a Floridian, and I wanted to know, where's the rest of the story? Where's the evidence? I mean, show your cards. I mean, we've come this close. And, you know, you talk about full disclosure and being open to the public, and it's really not happening. So as far as I'm concerned, that what happened in July was a show. I mean, I was in awe. I was waiting for this solid information, and nothing happened. And, you know, on the heels of that, we had the Mexican alien corpses with Jaime Musan, and that was much of the same. So, you know, we're getting a whole lot of smoke and mirrors, but, you know, but nothing of substance. So, I mean, what do you think about those hearings?
Well, basically, a little bit of nothing. Nothing happened. The one thing about David Grush is that he's talking about, what, this 1933 event, which is largely disputed as being unreal. So when he drops that in place, I'm wondering if what he claimed is a mixture of what he's heard, the rumors he's heard about UFOs, and something maybe he did hear in the military, or maybe they put him out here. They took this guy and they made him a pawn to focus attention, and then when he's taken down, that will help debunk the subject. I just am very queasy about it. He might be a legitimate guy, believing everything he's saying, but that doesn't mean it's true. And the other thing that bothers me is that supposedly he's been asked to deliver some of his evidence because he would have to talk in private, he says. But according to Sean Kirkpatrick, the outgoing director of the Pentagon UFO investigation, he has refused to do it. That's very disturbing.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, like I say, show your cards. You know, he did say that. He said that the information he had was classified. However, he would share it with the right people at the right time, you know, people that had the right credentials. So, you know, here we are. Yeah. But here's the thing, too. Nobody's calling him on this. None of the congressional people that were involved. I don't hear very, very much pushback on this, and there should be. You know, the UFO community has to stand for something, you know, like some kind of common sense, maybe scientific knowledge and verification on all that. And right now we're not getting anything. It's almost like an afternoon soap opera. You know, that's and it needs to be more than that. And I don't know. I don't know if the UFO community's taken this as serious as they should.
Well, part of it also is if you say too much about this fellow Grush, you draw attention to him. He becomes a martyr. And if they'd rather not deal with him for whatever reason, it's best to mostly ignore him. Oh, he won't respond to our requests for more information, so therefore that's the end of the story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. And I wish there was more to the story. Anyway, like I said, I've sent a letter to Marco Rubio, and I'm asking for information. I'm asking for the next step. If we're going to talk about disclosure, let's have it. So I'll keep you posted on what I get.
I expect if Senator Rubio responds at all, it'll be one of those generic letters from his fourth assistant.
Yeah.
That's the unpaid intern.
During this interview, I'm going to disclose some memos I have from Stanton T. Friedman and the National Archives and William L. Moore and I think I have one from Jerome Clark. So I've been sort of following the Philadelphia experiment for a while, and I'm like everybody else. I'm just concerned and curious about what really happened, and I think something did happen.
Let's go to Philadelphia. Well, let me give you a brief introduction to my encounters with it. Of course, I heard about the so-called annotated edition of M.K. Jessup's book, The Case for the UFO. That was his first UFO book. He also has something called The Expanding Case for the UFO, which I bought for $1 at the closeout counter. It didn't do very well. But there was this copy of the book circulating with pen annotations about commenting about things in the book. And eventually this got into the hands of the Navy, and they reprinted what is called the Varro version, a spiral-bound version of the book with a different color for each annotation. So if one annotator was involved in some of them, that would get one color, et cetera, et cetera. Now, later on, Gray Barker reproduced the annotated version of The Case for the UFO. I don't know how he worked out the copyright for the original book, but anyway. And that takes us to Charles Berlitz, who was co-author with William Moore of the Philadelphia Experiment in the late 70s. This is the book before their Roswell book. Now, I was interviewing Berlitz for a cable TV show in New York back in 1975. This is where his book, The Bermuda Triangle, was very successful. And we did the interview, and he was really a fun interview. He has his twinkle in his eyes. And he tell me privately, I'm honest as the day is long. So we know already you hide your wallet when he comes by. But he, of course, was a spoiled rich kid. He was the grandson of the founder of the Burles Language Schools.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'll tell you about his home in a little bit. Anyway, so he mentioned he was looking for the annotated book. And I said, you know what? I got a copy. You want me to loan it to you? This was on the air. I have a feeling he didn't expect anyone to actually produce it. He was just saying that for effect. But I called his bluff. I said, here, I'll bring it to you. Want it? You're sure, we'll have lunch. So I got together with him for maybe a dozen lunches, visited him on occasion at his home in Glen Cove, New York, which was distinctive in its own right, not just because it's a big house, an expensive house, but his work area was a converted ship's cabin.
Oh, wow.
Visualize that, folks.
Amazing. Yeah.
And so he published the book. He even gave me a few credits in there. No money except for the free lunches, which were fine. You know, I came to New York at the time when I didn't have a lot of money, and any free lunch I could get, especially at a decent restaurant, was acceptable. And I always enjoyed talking to Charles Berlitz. I don't know if he took it seriously or not. I think he was happy to have made money from the Philadelphia Experiment and to jump on the bandwagon for that book, and also Bermuda Triangle, and also the Roswell book. There you go. Maxim is with us with Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Now, when Tim was giving his introduction, I thought maybe he was abducted by somebody in the Eldritch who came back to life. By the way, the Philadelphia Experiment was also subject of a fiction movie, a sci-fi movie, back in the 1980s, and there was a sequel also. So we can go into that if anyone cares. But Maxim, you've been doing some research into it. We have that article from your special report, I guess we'll call it a three-page article or a book chapter about the Philadelphia experiment. But I'm going to ask you here, this gentleman you named, Frederick G. Tracy, is this somebody you met or somebody whose papers you studied?
Well, both. I heard about Fred Tracy from my cousin, Jim Furyk, and Jim was a military guy, was living up in Derry, New Hampshire for a while, and met Fred Tracy, you know, through military different organizations. So Jim came back to Pennsylvania and told me about this guy. So he called him up, and I spoke with him. We had a couple of conversations, and then at some point I went up to Derry, and I hung out there for, it was a little over a week, it might have been like 4 days, but I interviewed him, took pictures, and the thing about Fred Tracy is he claimed that he was aboard the USS Antietam. It was an aircraft carrier. He claimed that they did the degaussing experiment on the Antietam, a similar experiment that they did on the Eldridge. And during World War II, we were trying to make our ships invisible to enemy radar, to German U-boat torpedoes, and to these undersea mines that would get set off when the magnetic field from a ship would go over the bomb. So they were trying to go and make the ship invisible to the enemy radar. Fred Tracy claimed that he served aboard the USS Antietam, and the degaussing experiment, which was wrapping coils around a ship and then magnetizing it to nullify the magnetic signature. He claimed that a lot of negative things happened to the men, that they suffered from radiation-type poisoning, and Fred claims that he had lung issues, cardiac issues because of this. So that was part of his narrative. The other thing, though, he says that was just before the end of the war, and the men aboard the Antietam were just demoralized, and they all talked about the Eldridge. They knew about this Philadelphia experiment, or Project Rainbow, as it was called. And Fred Tracy told me that the men aboard the Antietam were read a directive from Admiral James Forrestal, who was the first Secretary of the Navy. And Forrestal admitted that the Philadelphia experiment actually happened. However, the men were not to disclose what they had heard, and they would be held for treason if they did. One thing that may sort of like, you know, when you look at this, may make sense. You know, when we talk about those guys during the war years, I think that they were loyal and obedient soldiers. I mean, if they were given a command, they would do that. I mean, you know, that's changed since Vietnam and everything else, you know, like we're, you know, free spirits and everything. But I believe that, you know, Fred Tracy brings as much to the Philadelphia experiment narrative as does, you know, Carl Allen or Carlos Allende or Al Bielak or, you know, any of the other ones. So, again, I kept up a correspondence with him and have had numerous letters from him and documentation. So Fred Tracy was, you know, a real person, and he was one of the participants in this Philadelphia experiment. And the way I look at it, I mean, I look at what I call like the symbiosis of the Philadelphia experiment. Like there were symbiotic relationships, people that tended to complete each other. If I could, you know, wax poetic there, but like for example, Dr. Morris Jessup, at least the one. I didn't know about the other one, but Dr. Morris Jessup and Carl Allen, that was one team. Certainly Fred Tracy and Admiral James Forrestal was one. William Moore and probably Richard Doty, another one. Al Bielak and Phil Schneider. I think Albert Einstein and Nikola Tesla. So those people sort of lined up in partnerships that sort of breathed air into this mythology of the Philadelphia experiment. And by the way, Gene and Tim, the 2023 is the 80-year anniversary of the Philadelphia experiment that allegedly happened in 1943.
Now, just briefly tell our listeners, there was, as I said, a movie called The Philadelphia Experiment. which came out in 1984. It yep. wasn't much of a box office sensation. It did very so-so. But it was, of course, if you look at the story, it was based on the book, The Philadelphia Experiment. They took all that and fictionalized it, which may be where possibly it deserves. Now, some people say here that this was an early effort to do something like they do with a stealth bomber, which is to make it more difficult for the enemy to detect the ship, that invisibility was an exaggeration. What's your take on that?
Well, absolutely. No, I mean, there's a kernel of truth to this. I think that they were, the degaussing technique was something that they used during the war. It was developed in Canada, and they would go and wrap the coils around the ship. They would put electricity through that and neutralize the magnetic current and render the ship invisible to enemy bombs and torpedoes and radar. And again, back in the 40s, the radar was pretty primitive, so it was probably relatively easy to do. So that part of it was true. But as the narrative goes, the ship was teleported from Philadelphia to Norfolk and back, and that crazy things happened that the men, and again, with the 1984 Philadelphia Experiment movie, it was more of a sci-fi thriller, but the sailors were time-traveled from 1943 to 1984. And the part that people related to or responded to is where the two men were actually fused into the bulkhead of the ship. They were still alive. And that was just like a horrific scene. But I think everybody who saw that movie, certainly, you know, like the kids in the growing up in the 80s, you know, remember that because that was just so graphic and horrific. That was the scene that everybody talked about. But, you know, did it happen? Well, William Moore, after the fact, claimed that the men were, because of the doses of electricity, were probably hallucinating. He claimed that several men fell over and drowned. As far as actually, being teleported from Philly to Norfolk and back, and the time travel and everything, that's where the whole narrative gets a little bit shaky. And it's an interesting story, but I don't believe that happened. I believe that there was an experiment, much like during World War II, we had the Manhattan Project that we had to, we had to go and get that complete, to win the war. We had Enrico Fermi at the University of Chicago working with those plutonium rods, and trying to induce that a nuclear reaction, he was doing that experiment. So you had all these things happening.
We got more with Maxim and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. Tesla is recalling nearly 2 million electric vehicles due to safety concerns tied to its auto steer feature.
A forthcoming software update will enhance warnings for drivers and enable the automated feature to disengage when the vehicle is not on the road or if the driver is not sufficiently attentive. The Traffic Safety Administration initiated an investigation in 2021 following nearly a dozen reported incidents. I'm Dave Collins.
The Biden administration is unveiling its offshore drilling plan for the next 5 years. According to the Interior Department, three leases for drilling in U.S. waters are scheduled between 2024 and 2029. The American Petroleum Institute criticized the plan, stating that it fails to meet the energy needs of the American people. Environmental groups also expressed concern, asserting that the dangerous cycle of drilling and spilling must end. Skip Kelly, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. That's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
So we have here Maxim Furek, our guest today, and he's talking about efforts back during World War II to make our vessels more difficult to detect. Now, parenthetically, I should mention this. The Wikipedia article on the Philadelphia experiment mentions Jacques Vallée as confirming that there were genuine efforts to use powerful magnetic fields to degauss or make it more difficult to spot the ships so that the enemy wouldn't see them. So there is that element of truth. Maxim, go on, please.
Yeah, so what happened was then in the 90s, you had this guy, Al Bielak, that entered the picture. And it's interesting because after the motion picture and then the book, and there was sort of like a lag, there didn't seem to be a whole lot of interest in the Philadelphia experiment. And then around 1995, this guy named Al Bielak showed up at the, it was a New Order conference. It was in California. And he, these are the people that are getting ready for the end of the day, for the end days. There, a lot of them were white supremacists, paramilitary, basically right wingers. And I don't know why Al Bielak was there, but he was talking about the New World Order. But Al Bielak claimed this. He said that in 1985, a year after the Philadelphia Experiment movie came out, he had seen the movie in 1985, and it shocked him. It uncovered repressed memories. He said that his quote was that it hit me like a bomb. And he said that he was aboard. Not only was he aboard the Eldridge, but he was the engineer that pulled the switch that caused it to go and teleport. And he claimed that him and his brother, they jumped off the ship and they were teleported. Now, I've heard several versions of this. One version that he was teleported to Montauk, the project in Long Island, allegedly an epicenter of CIA mind control experimentations. The other one that Belak was teleported into the future, and they had these floating cities. They were 2.5 miles high, and he was in a hospital there after after what happened on the Eldridge. So he was there at a hospital, and it was sort of socialistic, and they had these beautiful, intelligent people, and there was no war, no military, no taxes, no money. Everything's just like, la-di-da, just a wonderful place. So he talked about that. Al Belak is, you could Google him on YouTube and listen to him, but he's very articulate. He's well-spoken. He has good command of either recall or fiction, whatever you want to call it. But, I mean, he's a good teller of a tale. So what he did was after he took the Philadelphia experiment and rolled that into the Montauk project, and he claimed that the Philadelphia experiment continued, but in Montauk it was about mind control and time travel. So the narrative got a little bit juicier and a little bit more. So, he reminds me a lot of George Adamski. And George Adamski, the professor back in the 50s, he talked about seeing the saucers. And after Kenneth Arnold saw those 9 discs, Adamski saw like 154 of them. So like he one-upped them quite a bit. But what was interesting about Adamski was, and I don't know if this is, an indictment against the UFO community. And I know we probably have a ton of listeners who are into the UFOs and follow this. But back then with George Adamski, somebody should have called his bluff. He was talking about traveling to all these different planets. He was talking about hanging around with an alien from Venus, saying that he was going to Saturn for a conference. Showing pictures, amateurish, pedestrian pictures, photographs of UFOs. There were actually parts of GE light bulbs and a chicken brooder, that thing, that incubator that you use to hatch the eggs. I mean, he actually took a picture of this thing, and everybody pointed it out that it was bogus, but yet he had a hardcore following of people that just like lapped that up. Anything he said, I mean, he was very, again, Adamski had a third grade education, but he'd been around the block for a while. He was teaching a combination of Christianity and Eastern mysticism. And so when he started to talk about the Space Brothers, his message was this: the Space Brothers were benevolent, and they were here to warn us that we had better stop messing around with these nuclear bombs because we're going to go and destroy ourselves. So I think Adamski, what he did was, although he was a really clever and articulate con artist and a hoaxer, he was smooth and articulate. He was suave. And people bought his shtick and believed him because it was almost like a religion. He said that, the Space Brothers are here to help us, and they're going to guide us out of this turmoil, and they're going to help us from destroying ourselves. So he was sort of one of the first, I would call him one of the first proponents of that New Age philosophy. And that was back in the 50s. But incredible that people actually, bought into, his narrative. But just like some people believed what Al Belak was saying, too. So, you have these individuals that they're opportunists and they take the time to insert themselves into the narrative. And Tim, you were on, History's Mysteries, and you were talking about Belak claiming that the Eldridge was teleported other places, correct? I think you said Chicago.
That was William Shatner's The Unexplained. Yeah, Belak, as time went on, his story got embellished, and he was talking about there were various, PowerPoints with man-made high power sources that the Eldridge allegedly was attracted to at various locations throughout time, Chicago being one of them, New York, I think, was one as well that apparently was the result, ended up being the result of a blackout in the early to mid 2000s.
Yeah. And I think you mentioned Nevada too. You said Chicago and Nevada.
Nevada, yeah. Is there a dam or something in Nevada? Because I think he was talking about certain dams that produced hydroelectricity.
Yeah.
were an attraction point.
Yeah, but I wanted to acknowledge you for being on the program. When I saw you, I called my wife over. I said, look, I know this guy.
I know him. I know him.
I know him. I shall be after him presently.
Oh, that was great. By the way, I was looking at my notes here, and the last time I was on the Paracast was May of 2023. So I know we were talking a lot about rock and roll, and that was kind of cool. So May of 2023. So thanks for having me back.
Well, we'll get you the invoice tomorrow. As far as the dance is concerned, there is a publication that's kind of weird to find online. It goes back to 1957 from Jim Moseley's Saucer News called The Special Adamski Exposé Issue. And they take the story all apart there. They point out, for example, how easy it is to duplicate his photos. They used a Chrysler hubcap and maybe some golf balls instead of the GE light bulbs. Others used a surgical lamp. Mm-hmm. So the point is here, no matter what, they were easy, but there are still people to this very day who will maintain, one, that the pictures can't be duplicated without spending a lot of money, which is nonsense. Number two, that he had real experiences, except, of course, when Adamski described his trip to the moon, it was very, very little like the moon that we know and have explored. But then, on the other hand, Adamski said once, sometimes you have to go through the back door to get the truth out. And, of course, his truth was his religious and philosophical beliefs. And so he had them in the lips of a version of Klaatu with long hair.
Yeah.
More to come with Maxim and Gene and Tim. You're in
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
If you love mysteries, you'll love these two books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll learn about the strange beings that can look like us, but are not. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll see the hard evidence of UFOs that has been ignored or even hidden. These books will definitely blow your mind, and both are now available on Amazon.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I want to get back into a bunch of things with regard to the Philadelphia experiment about the characters. Al Bielak especially, because he was more recent. I heard him once or twice on Art Bell's radio show back in the 90s. And, of course, Art would put anybody on with a story. I don't know what he believed, but he put on anyone with a story. Whatever happened to Bielak? Is he long gone or what?
Yeah, I think he died at age, I want to say 94. I think that's what it was. The Preparedness Expo was the name of that group that he affiliated with that was in California. And they believe that there's a deep state. There's a new world order that the government or the deep state wants to take over and control us. And it was really sort of a weird, I think, environment for him to be there. But when he talked about the time travel to the future, when he was talking about this socialistic world where, you know, everything was very peaceful and taken care of and all that. And then at that same conference, he brought along Phil Schneider, and Schneider claimed that his father, Otto, was a former German U-boat captain who was brought over to the United States, and he was assigned to, guess what, the Eldridge. So there was this connection between alleged connection with Al Bielak and Phil Schneider to the Eldridge and the Philadelphia experiment. Of course, with Phil Schneider, Schneider's narrative got a little bit crazier, a little bit more. He claimed that he was there working these DUMBs, D-U-M-Bs, deep underground military bases. And he claimed that he was this explosives technician. The drill bits kept on breaking. And so what happened was they went down around 2 miles, and that makes sense. You know, they went down and he, but the one thing that tipped him off was that there were a lot of green berets and black berets that were accompanying him. So he realized that there's something going on, and they went down to the bottom to find out what was happening with the drill bits. And here they found these grays. Schneider claimed that he killed two of the grays with a pistol, claimed that they were 4 foot tall. He claimed that the 7 foot gray blasted him with his laser. And whenever Phil Schneider would go and do his presentations, and again, Phil Schneider is all over YouTube as well, and he's currently has passed. But Schneider would start off his narrative by saying, in case they find me dead, you know I have been murdered. He would say that. But then he would hold up his fingers. I think he had lost two fingers, and he claimed that that was from being blasted by the 7-foot Gray's laser beam, and that one of the military, one of the Green Berets, killed the Gray and then drug Phil Schneider out of there. So Schneider talked about the Dulce Wars, you know, that there was a battle underneath New Mexico, New Mexico, that we had a treaty with the Grays that, to allow them to stay here, they would give us their, we would reverse engineer, their craft. And they would live in peace. The only other part of the, I think it was called the Grenada Agreement, Grenada Treaty, but the Grays were allowed to go and harvest animals. And so a lot of these animal mutilations allegedly are because of the Grays doing that. But also they were allowed to go and take human beings for experimentation and then return them. Supposedly, the aliens didn't abide to their part of the contract, and that led to the Dulce Wars, where something like 60 Green Berets were killed and countless aliens. So that's the narrative. But what's interesting, is there any truth to any of this? Well, we know that there's underground cities in, in Russia and North Korea. Just look at what's happening over in Gaza with all the tunnels. So we know that there's, that there's underground, caverns, maybe for military purposes that are, all over the place. And why not in New Mexico? So maybe some of this is correct, but how much, we don't know. I don't know. When I first heard about Phil Schneider, and then the other thing too, this is, I'm sort of jumping all over the place, but what's interesting when you take a look at the people that have died, people involved with the Philadelphia experiment, Phil Schneider died in what looked like a military style killing. He was strangled by either a catheter tube or a rope. I mean, there's different versions. Dr. Morris Jessup was found dead in his car parked in a parking lot in Miami, Florida. It looked like he had committed suicide. There was a pipe from his exhaust into the car. Some people claim that he was killed because he knew too much about UFOs and anti-gravity devices and all that. And then the other one, and Gene, you called me on this one, but this was Admiral James Forrestal. Now, Forrestal was involved with the alleged MJ-12 group, a group that was put together to go and retrieve flying saucers, and a group I think that was put together allegedly by Truman. But anyway, Forrestal was another one. He jumped to his death. He was at the Bethesda Medical Hospital. He jumped out of 16 floors, killed himself. But again, if, this guy, he was under suicidal watch. He was in a psychiatric unit. I mean, why put him on the 16th floor? Wouldn't you think, like, maybe the second floor at the most would be a better place? I don't know. I mean, I'm not a psychiatrist, but you had those people, and then Schneider had a number of people in his circle that died, which we would call, mysterious. Now, I don't know. I mean, you could look at that any way you want to. I know that Dr. Morris Jessup, he separated from his wife, and career probably wasn't going as well as he wanted it to. But the interesting thing about that was Jessup was supposed to go and reveal some big secret to Dr. Valentine. I think Dr. Valentine was an oceanographer, but the day before they were going to meet, he allegedly committed suicide. So who knows? But, I don't know.
Okay, but I want to add something to Morris K. Jessup. And that is, he was supposedly friends with the late Fortean writer Ivan T. Sanderson. Also, he was a zoologist. He died, I think, in the 1970s. He made this story on Long John Neville's show in the 60s, as I recall, that he knew Jessup. and that, as far as he knew, Jessup had no personal problems of sufficient nature to cause him to off himself.
Okay.
Very skeptical. Yeah, maybe he split with his wife, but people do that. Not everybody who splits with their wives or wives splitting with their husbands, whatever. Not any person like this, not everyone like this, offs themselves. So I don't know what to say about it. That was his opinion.
Well, I'm glad you said that because, you know, I was on another podcast and somebody was pointing out that it couldn't have been a homicide because he was despondent and suicidal and going through all these personal things. So, I mean, who knows? I mean, who knows? But, you know, when you look at the track record of the CIA and God knows what other, groups we have, you know, that we don't even know about, you know, that are part of the black budget ops, things happen and things have happened. And certainly with, when you talk about Montauk, being a possible epicenter for mind control and time travel and all that, you know, I think that, you know, we know that the CIA was experimenting with LSD and, they dosed scientists. President Ford paid reparations to the family of the family of a scientist who committed suicide. He was dosed with LSD and with hallucinogens like LSD. There's a thing known as set and setting, and the way that works is if you were to go and drop some good pharmaceutical Sandoz LSD. You know, not something that's dosed with a whole lot of, chemicals and, bath salts and all that. But if you know the set and the setting, you know that you could, you know, you drop the acid, you're going to have maybe a 5-hour experience where you, you know, hear color and see sound and all this stuff, that psychedelic thing. But, you know, it would be a safe, enjoyable experience.
We've got more with Maxim. We're taking a trip, I guess, with Maxim here. And Gene and Tim, you're in.
The Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.